Our Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from 2 Peter chapter 3. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness, and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me, he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Think along with me for a second about a story of some beginning in your life. How did you wind up in Rochester? How did you meet your spouse? How did you open your business or find your job? Those are probably just some common ones, but I'm sure you've got your own origin stories. How do you tell it? Have you told it often enough that you've got an artistic way, at least at the start, of describing exactly the emotions and the thoughts? Or maybe you're one of those storytellers who start, "Well, I have to back up a little bit and tell you this first. You have to understand, when I got out of school, the Great Recession had started about a year prior. Things had gone from go-go to no-go overnight. One day, people were throwing $1 million at you if you had a business plan, and the next, well..." Maybe you don't tell the story that often, or nobody has asked in a while. And you have to rebuild it a little for yourself. Grandpas on both sides were farmers. Dad was a farmer. So when I was thinking about what I was going to do, or maybe that time of beginning is so strange and wonderful, and yet distant from the you that you are now, that you just start, not sure if it's still your story, or even if you would believe it if you heard it. I just opened the shop. People came. Each of our gospel accounts is a little different in how they start the story of Jesus. John has that beautiful poetic opening that you know he's been thinking about and working on for a long time, attempting to put the entire story into a miniature. In the beginning was the Word. Luke is the one that has to back you up first. Let me tell you, Theophilus, so that you know the things that you've been taught. You have to hear the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth first. John, the Baptist's parents. Matthew builds towards the stories starting with a genealogy. When you understand that he came from Abraham and David, then you might begin to understand how Jesus started his course. But Mark just jumps in. The beginning. This was the beginning of the good news of Jesus. Christ, Son of God. It all starts with this character and a snippet of the old traditions. If you saw him, you couldn't get him out of your mind. The prophets, Isaiah, had said something. Some other ones had said it as well, roughly, look, I'm sending my messenger before you who will prepare your way. A voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way. It was one of those things that I was forced to learn as a child, and nobody knew what it meant, but it was important. And then he appeared. This wild man, like one of those ancient raving prophets in the stories. This guy, dressed like Father Nature, had a skin of some camel covering him. Might have cut it himself from a dead camel of a caravan. And the only thing that held it on was this leather belt that served as his loincloth as well. All he ate were those bitter insects and sweet honey. Nothing safe middle for this guy. It was either that food of last resort, that food of famine, or that food of milk and honey. So it's strange, because nobody listens to that guy, right? But everybody, Hicks and high class, everybody went out to listen to this one. And they weren't just listening. They changed. They did things new. They'd be lined up on the bank, and then he'd start inviting them into the river, and they'd start admitting everything they'd ever done in their lives. And he'd dunk them and send them on their way with the word. This is just water. But one is coming with the Spirit. Right? Behind me. And they'd go home. We'd go home. I'd go home. And change my life. We started waiting. We had heard that voice in the wilderness, and the paths were straight, if but for the moment that we caught that vision. We started preparing. Because the mightier one was coming. Jesus, Christ, the Son of God. Mark's Jesus, like John the Baptist, is never about the middle. In Luke, most of the gospel is taken up with Jesus' journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. One follows the Savior by being on the journey, by being on the way. John's Jesus is always about how two things are happening at the exact same time. Jesus, the man, is at a wedding, Jesus, the Messiah, turns water into wine. Jesus came to give life, and he gives life by putting his death. Matthew tells the conventional story. Jesus does these things because he's the son of Abraham and the son of David. But Mark's Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Something new is in breaking immediately. And this Alpha is always pressing towards the Omega. Now we start new life through these waters of baptism. We repent and we confess our sins. As Luther would say, that old Adam is drowned daily and the new man arises daily. Baptism is a beginning and an end. But to Mark and the Baptist, this baptism of the greater one is the end times. This new age pressing against the old one. In those days, the Spirit will be poured out. And your young men will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams. The Omega is going to force that beginning. The Spirit is forcing the old to dream, and the young to have wisdom. In the baptism of Jesus, we have a beginning. A beginning attached to and forced by the end. And what comes next? The Baptist's greater one is about those beginnings and endings. That old Adam is drowned. Our old Adam comes to his end in repentance. And for all the prophets, that's really as far as it went. Their voice was always a voice calling in the wilderness. Return, repent, recognize that all flesh is grass, and the grass withers and the flower fades. It's the truth. But it's the truth of those locusts. It's bitter, pure end. But the Baptist was promising a beginning. This repentance is for the forgiveness of sins. The Mighty One is not just coming to judge, but to forgive. The Mighty One is coming to give you a new start, a beginning. It doesn't matter where you come from, the Judean country or the Jerusalem city, what age you are, what is burdening your heart? This Mighty One comes with grace and the Spirit, forgiveness and new life for you. The older I get, the easier it is for me to think in Luke's journey or Matthew's conventionality. But Mark's proclamation is about the fierce urgency of now. Now is the time you hear the word. You don't know when it might echo on your ears again. Now is the time that the forgiveness and new life is available. Repent now and receive him. Now is the time that we must do something. Don't wait for tomorrow. You don't know when your life will be required of you. Don't worry about that mountain ahead of you. Don't worry about the mountain of sin and bad habits in your hearts. Don't worry about the long and winding path that you've taken here and that might snake into the future. Start now. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths, and make them straight into your heart. Begin. Arise. Live before God today in holiness and blessedness. Eat those locusts of repentance and taste now the sweetness of the honey of the grace of God. This is the beginning of the gospel. Jesus Christ, Son of God, a beginning for you. At times, we need John's mystical view, or Matthew's convention, or Luke's encouragement along the way. But Mark's purpose is to kick us. The day of the Lord is coming swiftly. The herald is here pronouncing his coming. The Spirit has been poured out. The grass is withering and the flowers are fading. He is coming the next time in might, and his arm rules. His reward is with him and his recompense before him. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The only question is, will you stand revealed in that resurrection body with your path straight? Or will you, with your resurrection body, take the long and winding road down? Prepare the way of the Lord. Begin now, for the end comes swiftly. And if you don't know where, start with admitting that. Listen to that strange voice from the wilderness that we never listen to. You know the one. It's the beginning of a new story. It's the beginning of the good news for you. Amen.